Greetings and welcome to City Maven, where wine and people meet. We are on a journey from Chicago to Spain. We're looking for that perfect bottle of wine. So join us as we interview everyone under the sun, from teachers, local artists, and students. We want to know what you're drinking. So don't forget, bring your own bottle. Greetings and welcome back to City Maven, people. Today I am in Peru. It is October 18th, 2014, and we have a very special guest in today's show. We have Mr. Jones with us, a local, but not local so much. He's a world traveler, Joel Jones, and today he's brought a nice bottle of wine. Joel, welcome back to City Maven, and what have you brought for us?
Hi. This is an Intipalca. Mm-hmm. Which is some red wine from here. Yeah, I don't really know much about it because as you have mentioned, I haven't been living here recently.
That's right.
But this is what my peers are drinking now that I'm back.
Okay.
So I understand it's pretty good.
Okay. Well, let's tell us a little bit about this bottle. So.
Apparently it's a Malbec from last year.
Okay, we'll pop it open and let's have a try.
Okay, so
yes,
should I pop it up?
Yes, please. Would you do the honors and pour this wonderful Malbec 2013 from Peru? I didn't realize there was grapes in Peru.
Me neither.
Tell you,
grapes? No, grapes. You know there are. It's wine that I'm surprised everybody says that this is quite from Ica. See, it says it here. Yeah, Ica. Where you get the Pisco grapes too.
Oh, really? So could you read a little bit about this wine? I think there's some details in there that you'd like to...
Label. You have here basically what Intipalca means, which means Valley of the Sun in Quechua.
In Quechua, is that the indigenous language? Or?
Yeah, well, it's one of the many languages spoken in Peru. And, what does it say here? That it's they're grown at 500 meters above sea level. 60 kilometers from the coast on a desert.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, that's a coast. Come on. And it's got suelo franco. So I don't know what that means. And they're profound and rich in magnesium.
Oh, interesting. So we're going to get some minerals in our...
Yeah,
in our...
there we go. Technified... how do I say this in English? Riego tecnificado.
Madre
so
mía.
It's... Damn it, I'm forgetting my English.
That's okay. How long have you been back to Peru now?
Yeah, 3 months. And look how bad it goes. And then it's hand-picked, apparently.
Okay, so let's taste this. Yeah. Cheers.
After you.
Okay.
Salud.
Interesting.
Uh-oh.
It's fruity. I'm not sure. I know it's got a story. It's a relatively young one. I don't think it sees any oak barrel because it's straightforward. What are your thoughts? I think it's easy to drink. I don't think there's much to tell. In this particular bottle.
Well, I really don't know much about this. It's what people tell me is being drunk nowadays.
Malbec. I do see some tannins in there. I mean, my mouth puckers up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just very juicy. Not complicated, easy to drink. May I ask how much you paid for this bottle, Mr. Jones?
That would be impolite of you, huh?
That probably would, but it's a 2013, so...
Yeah, it wasn't much. Must have been about between 30 and 40 soles, which is more than $10.
Okay, roughly.
Between, about 10 to... $13? Yeah, $10 to $13.
The reason I ask is just because it gives me a point of reference. It's 2013. You're a local. You bought it in soles. Your culture, is it a wine culture? Or would you say it...
No, you know very well we're a Pisco culture.
I know. Okay.
You very well know this now.
I do.
After 5 days of drinking Pisco every night.
I have been drinking a lot of Pisco, but... When in Rome, do as the Romans do. In this case, when in Lima, drink lots of Pisco Sour. But the derivative of this drink is grapes, is it not?
Indeed.
I'm not falling far from the tree in this case.
I'd say no.
Another thing I like to always talk about with my wonderful guests. It's really really what you do. I think wine kind of unifies people, communities, and in this case, I'm not sure how I'm going to pull in your background as a physicist into this conversation. But I will tell you, my beloved audience, that I had the privilege of attending a lecture.
Oh dear, yeah, you're going to mention this.
I'm going to mention the monotop leptonic search given by Stephanie this week. I attended a lecture at the university, Joel Jones, but it's actually Dr. Jones, and he's a physicist. Uh-oh. And believe it or not, I didn't realize that physicists were such a good time and drank wine and pisco.
Yeah, we drink other things too.
Okay. We won't get into that right now. But tell us a little bit about what you do and...
What I do. All right, okay.
Besides drink pisco and wine with me.
So I study particle physics. Mm-hmm. I study what everything is made of, mm-hmm, and how... this thing that everything is made of interacts between itself. This involves particles, mm-hmm, such as electrons and quarks and interactions like the electromagnetic interaction or the strong interaction, which is stronger than the electromagnetic one, or the weak interaction, which is weaker than the electromagnetic one.
So this interaction that we're having with this wine, would you consider it dark matter?
I would consider it a weak interaction.
Fair enough. I'll keep drinking while you keep talking about your interaction. Yeah, yeah.
So that includes also the Higgs boson, and that's about it, basically. In a nutshell, right? I study beyond the standard model theories. So that means models that at the moment have not been confirmed. Mm-hmm. We have seen no evidence in favor of these models, but they serve as alternatives to the current model, that they solve a couple of problems that the standard model has, and that's the point, right? We study these models, we see what would be its phenomenology, right? What signatures we could observe in the experiment, and we look for them. So far we haven't found anything, but we're still looking. Next year will be quite interesting as the LHC, this big experiment in Geneva, will start running again for about, 4 or 5 years or so? And hopefully, with luck, we will find some evidence in favor of these models. If we don't find anything, it won't be a disaster because we'll have learned a lot and we'll understand nature much better, right? So it's a no-lose scenario, no matter what happens.
And so you didn't mention Geneva, and I know you've mentioned that you were in CERN. So could you tell the audience a little bit about being there, working there?
Well, it was quite interesting. I mean, I was there as a visitor, as a long-term visitor. Mm-hmm. I was there for about a year, actually, two 6 months periods, mm-hmm, working for the University of Valencia. I was a postdoc there, mm-hmm, and this was a weird postdoc. This to my physicist friends, and they don't really understand it. Mm-hmm. But it was a postdoc from Valencia, where I was not supposed to stay in Valencia. I was supposed to be elsewhere. So my boss decided that I had to be at CERN, mm-hmm, for the purposes of the project. So they sent me to CERN.
They got rid of you that way.
Apparently, yes. and it was a great experience. It's a fantastic place. It's it's a very intellectual place, right? You don't see very nice buildings there. They're all made from the 60s, and they're still like that. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing that you're in the cafeteria, having your normal lunch. And then suddenly you hear some interesting conversation. You turn around and it's, a Nobel Prize talking, to somebody else.
Is that the most brilliant
part? Yeah, and they're just there in the cafeteria with everybody else, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
And you learn a lot, not only from, working there, the seminars there, just the questions that people ask themselves. You hear people asking themselves these questions, it's a very, very interesting process. And if you get the chance of going down and seeing the machines, okay, that's another treat also.
Well, I'm not sure what else to drag into the light, considering that a physicist likes to drink wine and say smart things. Yeah. I want to hear a little bit more about this.
I also like German food.
German food?
Yes, and Italian food too. Yeah, physicists do like these kind of things too. And Peruvian food, of course.
Speaking of Peru and how I'm in Peru as we speak, I have never eaten such great fusion food from ceviche. It's like a hodgepodge of all these cultures intertwined, and then it's like an orgasmic culinary experience, and I had no idea if I was coming or going with the food.
Yeah, kind of happens.
I'm surprised. I have came down here. I wasn't sure what to expect. I knew I was going to look for grapes. I was going to look for wine, and I was completely deviated to the road of pisco sour and food and Chinese food. For goodness sake, Chinese.
You know it's
food.
Not Chinese food.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's called chifa. Oh my goodness, this is a new term in my head.
Yeah. It's a fusion of Peruvian food and Chinese food.
You were saying that it's like three generations of Chinese people living here, or?
Both, quite a lot. I mean, they must have arrived, I don't know the exact date, right? But they arrived shortly after slaves were given freedom in Peru, and that must have been in the 1850s, 1860s. Mm-hmm. By the war in Chile, by the time of the war in Chile, they were already here. So yeah, maybe 1860s or so. Mm-hmm. Or so. Yeah, so we've had Chinese people here for over 100 years, right? Actually, yeah, already 150 years.
150
so more or less, right? One of the defining features of Peruvian culture is mixing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that happened with the Chinese people, right? We mixed, and their food mixed with ours.
Oh, it's tremendous. I didn't anticipate it. I knew it was going to be an interesting trip for me, in my book. Better than paella in Spain.
Of course, come on. In paella's nice, you know.
But this is outstanding.
You never thought you would be eating heart.
I didn't. I ate heart. What kind of heart did I eat?
You ate an anticucho.
Anticucho. Oh,
which,
my.
From my understanding, it's a fusion of Peruvian and African cuisine.
Oh, that was.
From my understanding,
I had no words. I just kept eating and eating, and before you know it, I finished everything, and I wanted some more, and then I had it with chicha.
Yes.
Which is this local drink of
Purple corn.
Purple corn.
That is boiled. And some nice things are added to it.
Spices like, folks, I'm thinking of nutmeg, cloves mixed into this purple juice, and it's citrusy. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can't replicate this. I've never seen it back in Chicago.
Well, do you have purple corn in Chicago?
I've seen purple corn in the States, but not made as a drink. Yeah, yeah.
Ah, then maybe you can do it. Yeah.
I think I might have to try. Dr. Jones. I'm referred to you now as Dr. Jones. So I learned a little bit. I got a few wrinkles in my brain from the lecture, two-hour lecture.
Was it 2 hours?
It was
long, but.
Oh no! It was 2 hours.
I mean, it was 2 hours since it was supposed to start, but I shouldn't say this, but some people were late, right? So, like half an hour late. Well, I'd say an hour and a half, yeah, so, with interruptions and everything.
Right, with questions and.
Yeah. Usually, talks are about. I mean, it depends on the place, right? But usually, they're about between 45 minutes and an hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So with questions.
Mm-hmm. I found it fascinating. I wasn't quite sure. That was my first lecture I attended, a physicist lecture, and it did seem like. I don't speak any Chinese, but I'll tell you this much. Chinese made more sense to me than these formulas I was listening to.
I already explained to you what missing energy was.
Yes, I learned about missing energy, but no. I like the idea of this whole searching for new decaying massive particles.
Yes.
And searching for new
particles. This is the kind of thing that I do. You know, we look for new particles that might.
Which is, for me, I think it's, again, it's fascinating, but to the common person like me, who has really very little science background, it could be overwhelming.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to learn before you can actually work here. That's why, you know, in physics, you really need, you cannot really work until you get the PhD.
Right.
Right, so you finish your career, you don't know enough, you finish the master's, you don't know enough, then you have to do the PhD. While you're doing the PhD, you're learning a lot, and then that's when you start working. And then come the postdocs, where you actually demonstrate if you are working well or not. It's a bit of a long road.
What convention was that? Was it another physicist convention?
Oh, the iChip conference.
Yeah.
Oh, you went to the poster session.
Things were happening in the air. I walk in and I was like, I don't know if I should be here or not. I feel too much brain action. No, but I learned a lot about dark matter, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame that my poster was not about dark matter.
No, it wasn't.
My poster was about neutrinos.
Yeah.
Okay.
I learned about neutrinos, Higgs with you, and this Higgs stuff is a reoccurring term in everything that I see now. Higgs, Higgs, Higgs. What is Higgs? Well, or who was
it? He's a scientist. He's still alive.
Mr. Higgs.
He got Dr. Higgs. Oh, or Professor Higgs, whatever.
Oh my goodness. This is exactly why I'm not a physicist. Mm. And we shall continue drinking. Yeah, thank you for bringing this bottle of wine.
Intipalca,
Malbec, young wine.
And it has sulfites.
Of course it has sulfate. And what's the percentage of alcohol, which is another important thing?
Ich weiß nicht. Let's see, it's 14.5.
That's intense. It really is a strong wine.
Yes, we like to get people drunk here, as you might have noticed.
good times in Lima. I have to admit, it hopefully won't be my last time here in Lima.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope it's not.
Oh, that's a Freudian slip, if you ask me. That's it, folks. This is the last Malbec I'm going to have in Lima. Dr. Jones, thank you for hosting the wine for the company, and cheers.
That wraps up this episode, sponsored by CityMaven.com. Hasta la próxima. Until next time.